Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
HHS has applied for a lot of grants, and I think y'all do an amazing job. I work with you guys a lot, and I know the work that you do, and I know hands down the work that you do. And so we just have to be sure that we are letting our taxpayers know how this money is being funded, and we also had to tell a lot of people no. And regardless of why they were told no, they were told no. And so to be able to justify how much one organization is getting over another, regardless of how great the work is. Because I know, like I said firsthand, I see the kids, I talk to the kids, I'm in the community a lot. I know how great of a job you guys do.
So I know you don't really know the context here, but this is Tori Woods with the Scambia Children's Trust, and she's talking about a presentation that they'd received from the Children's Home Society, who has many times come before the trust. And if in case you're new to all of this, the Escambia Children's Trust is the organization that we voted into existence a couple of years ago to collect a certain amount of money off of your property taxes that then goes to work on improving children's educational outcomes, basically, through whatever needs to be done, okay? Struggled in the early years to really do good stuff. Now it's on a much better footing. It's been a little bit of a back and forth with the county and to some degree the city over who gets which slice of additional money. But put all that aside, there's a lot of good work that's being done by the organizations the Children's Trust is funding. And what Tori Woods is saying here is that the Children's Home Society, who has come back again with an ask, says, you guys do great work. I know you do great work. But there's a problem. And the problem is that the perception is that the same old organizations are getting all the funding. And even though that's not a fair criticism of Children's Home Society, and she acknowledges that, she goes into great depth explaining how the public doesn't understand that, and the political pressure, and the view that that money should be shared a little more evenly with other potential players or actual players in the educational child benefit space. And so there's a feeling of, well, if I keep funding CHS, then the voters are unhappy. And I thought this was, on the one hand, a pretty accurate statement, assessment of how some people feel. And on the other hand, a horrifying thing to have to admit and then to have to, like, account for. To have to think, as somebody who's tasked with improving the lives of young people through this tax unit, to have to think to yourself, well, I know that Entity A is doing great work. They keep doing great work. And the money we keep giving them keeps doing good things. But I got these people bending my ear about how they want to get a slice of that money. And their program is a maybe, or their program is less certain, or whatever. But if I don't fund this other program, people are going to be angry that their friends are not getting the money. Is kind of the way I took it. Thought, good grief, is that the right basis for making a decision? And the answer is, it is absolutely not.
One of the biggest expectations.
And by the way, I don't view this as a criticism of Tori. I just think there are people in the community who are angry they're not getting their project funded when the right answer is, well, we got this really good project over here that we're going to fund, that we're going to take care of.
One of the biggest expectations for me was to help other organizations learn to work with the trust. And, you know, when we have large organizations getting millions of dollars, if we look at how much we've given out in the last 4 years, and if there are three that have gotten a lot of money, regardless of the great work you do, and the optics for us is not good. And I've had to, the first 2 years, having to go back and waste our volunteers' time to look at grants again, because everybody doesn't understand why things were done the way they were done was not fair to them. And also, when people come out and vote, they don't see all the great work you do if somebody came to Lindsay and asked for the funding and it says, and I'm, you know, three organizations got 90% of the money, but those three organizations aren't the people that are voting. So if you guys have 200 people and 2 million are voting, they're looking at the optics and they're looking at the churches and the nonprofits and the smaller organizations. Well, they applied 10 times and didn't get anything.
Okay, there's a lot in there, but what she's basically saying is these entities have applied and gotten turned down. And other entities have applied and gotten approved and are doing great work. Now, I'm actually with her in the sense that part of the point of the Escambia Children's Trust was to be like sort of experimental funding, like to help things try that they think are going to work, you know, the get started funding. Now, you're not supposed to come back again and again and again for the same thing. You're supposed to develop outside funding and become self-sustaining, which is a challenge, okay? But that's kind of the expectation of it all. But she's basically, and also the whole bit about volunteers is, if people keep applying and they don't know how to win the grants and they keep getting turned down, they get frustrated because they don't know how to win. And it's a waste of our volunteers' time because they're the ones that have to read these applications again and again, and they're not succeeding. So I actually would recommend that the Escambia Children's Trust maybe talk to an entity like Impact 100. And, you know, I'm sure, I mean, I don't know, but I'm guessing maybe some of the people are even on Impact 100. But, like, Impact 100 has such a great model that the projects that win because they're good, but they will help people learn how to write grants and formalize their projects better, proposals better, and also become better at what they do. So it's kind of everybody benefits even when you lose. Like, you get ahead even if you don't win the actual grant. But the notion that it's like people are just bitter and angry, and if they don't get their friend's church's project funded, they're going to – I don't know who they're going to vote out because you don't really vote in this board. But, you know, it's kind of a – it's a weird – political concern in a way to be aware of, but it's also a weird political concern for these people to be raising, because the right answer is, well, CHS is doing great work. And she's going to say that. I'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Let's see here. We've got one accident that happened with roadblock on Old Palafox Highway up in Cantonment. That's all the information I have. I mean, it literally just happened, so I'll get you more information on that. I-10, I-110, even 98 and 90 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the Escambia Children's Trust meeting, where you have Tori Woods talking to one of the board members, talking to the Children's Home Society, and admitting that they do great work. But the perception by people is, you know, can't you spread that wealth around a little bit more?
And I know that you know our services, and a lot of you do. I mean, we have 14 programs, and if we have a need for our kids and you have core indicators here and we fall in the gap, we're going to ask, you know, because our kids need it. That's my job.
I don't disagree.
I understand where you're coming from.
I'm just saying the optics from the
yeah.
They like, when you vote on it, if everyone isn't given all that information, I know the information. And my reason for asking it is so that everybody is educated on the information. Because when the story goes out, the story doesn't say, well, Children's Home Society helps 2,000 people. The
right.
story comes out that Children's Home Society has gotten
got
four to five
again.
Grants.
Yeah,
every five times, the ones, every time they approve it, they get it. That's the optics. That's what people look at when they vote.
I hear you.
And that's what people look at when they crucify us for those funding. And that's what people look at that don't get the money.
So I don't know who's writing the other story. I don't know what outlet or reporting she's complaining about. I also would complain that that's an inappropriate way to report on the issue. But, you know, people can be told the truth. People can be told that this is a very good entity that's doing very good work. I also think the ECT should come along and do a little bit of help, you know, to help entities. Because we want to find the best programs. And if a program is out there that just isn't experienced at writing grants but would really help people, I mean, let's find it, fund it, and try it, you know? And I think we all agree about that, and I certainly hope so. Commissioner Lumen May, who also sits on this board.
Tori, I concur with a lot of what you're saying. Perception is reality, and so I will address the issue.
Perception is not reality. It's the job of leaders to explain that perception is mistaken if it's mistaken.
very briefly that I think we should be telling all in this motion, everyone that's getting our money, this is a one-time grant. What is the sustainability? It's unfair to the end user of the children for us to give them a one-time grant and then next year that this program doesn't exist. It doesn't matter to me, whether it's Children's Home Society or whether it's Dixon School of Arts. And so there should be a sustainability plan, you know, that's added to the contract of how are you going to do this.
And I think in an ideal world, he's exactly right. But also keep in mind, finding funding in the and again, if a program is working, I'm of the opinion that you keep funding it. Don't be like the Title I, you know, where we fund it, it works, and then we quit. But I'm with him that the ideal world is somebody comes with an idea, we give it startup capital, they go, they find additional funding, they no longer need the Escambia Children's Trust. You don't want to run a program for a year and quit. That's terrible to the kids. You don't want to have a program that's going to continually be dependent on funding, ideally, because, you know, you'd want to get them self-sustaining so we could do other things with that money and start up other ideas. Plus, I think Lumen's right that the availability of outside funding is also a sort of uncertainty right now in the current political environment.
I mean, because there's a lot at risk with, I mean, with the federal audit, DOGE coming down, Title I being cut. How do these programs sustain? And even if Children Trust, which is a great possibility, if Children Trust was not renewed, how do these programs sustain themselves?
Right, and that's a future too. In a couple of years, we're going to have a chance, and that's part of the reason I want to vote on, or want to talk about this, is because in a couple of years, we're going to have to vote on it to renew it or not. And, you know, I want people to have a fair understanding of what's happening inside the organization with the money that they're providing. So just, I thought it was an odd little note about that and the perception that people have and the desire to have, well, where's my share of the funding that we're going to use? Well, what's your program? You know, how good is it? Show me. 620 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, you know, if you need somebody to talk to about real estate, ask questions, and just kind of figure out what's going on, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they sell 165 homes last year, 175 the year before that. They were well over 200 in the times when it was, you know, put a basically, you know, start pounding in the sign that says home for sale, and you got like three offers. You know, when it was like that, they were well over 200. It's not like that anymore, although it is coming back a little bit. Christina says that they're now getting back to getting more than one offer on the home. It's just not like five offers same day the way it had been at the height. But it's actually in a situation like this where you need a realtor even more because you need somebody to help you make sure to get the maximum value out of your home, to get that multiple offers reality instead of to have just, you know, none or one or something like that. And she can help you with that. But you've got questions? She has perspective. Give her a call. Ask 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Gathering at Pensacola Beach is a wonderful family experience. If you've thought about having a family celebration or an amazing beach wedding, there is a very special home now available, Casa de Luna. Casa de Luna is spacious with room for large families. It has 9 large bedrooms and 8 bathrooms. Casa de Luna is a large private home with a refreshing pool and water views. The pool has a new 4,000 BTU gas heater. Casa de Luna is unique in that the main living area is directly on the ground level. It's very convenient. Bedrooms are both on the ground level and upstairs. One bathroom is handicap friendly, and another has a jacuzzi tub. There is a large gaming porch with a pool table, hockey, ping pong, and Xbox One. Bicycles are provided. Bring your family to Casa de Luna on Pensacola Beach.
For information, call Casa de Luna at 850-433-4855. That's 850-433-4855.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
June 15th is World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. Every year, millions of older adults suffer from abuse, neglect, or exploitation, often in silence. If you suspect elder abuse, report it. One call can make a difference. Contact your local area agency on aging at 1-800-963-5337 or visit elderaffairs.org. Let's protect our elders. See something, say something.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I have one question, Dr. Frankenstein. That's Frankenstein.
I beg your pardon?
My name. It's pronounced Frankenstein.
Good morning, 6:23 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It's Frankenstein. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The big story this morning, Pope Francis has died at 88 years old. His death announced this morning in a statement from the Vatican, which included a reference to him having dedicated his entire life to the service of the Lord and to his church. Again, he was 88 years old. Tributes rolling in all morning. Apparently, he spent some time with President J.D. Vance over the
Vice
weekend.
President.
Or Vice President J.D. Vance. I'm sorry about that.
Whoa, what do you know?
I know I didn't get enough sleep last night. That's what I know.
Fair enough.
The international...
And by the way, this is a huge, very sad day for Catholics all over the world and dealing with that. But, we've been reporting on his health issues for some time. And
right. Yeah, he was in the hospital about a month ago with all those respiratory issues. And was it pneumonia and all that type of stuff?
Yeah, that's what I recall it being, pneumonia. I think it's, just the note is that J.D. Vance, himself a practicing Catholic, was the last dignitary to really interact with the Pope and talked with him on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah.
Right. International courier firm DHL Express is suspending global shipments worth over $800 to American consumers. DHL says the suspension of shipments starts today, and it should be temporary. They say the suspensions are in response to new U.S. customs rules. And Andrew, on Friday, did you happen to see that giant plane coming into NAS Pensacola?
I did not. We posted the pictures up on our Facebook page, but I did not. Did you see it in the air?
I actually did. My house is just to the north of the NAS, and I had just come home from somewhere, and I got out of my truck, and I looked up, and first I heard it, and I looked up, and it was so low. And as I saw it coming past, I'm thinking, what in the world is that thing? Because it was just, it was massive.
If you've never seen one, I mean, it's enormous. I should look it up and see if it's how it compares to the B-52. But the C-5 is, it's a giant. Have you ever been in one?
No.
John, you've been in one?
Oh, yes.
We had a chance to go in one when we lived in Arizona. Luke Days is in every other year, kind of like we do at the NAS Pensacola Homecoming, is the base is open. Same thing at Luke, and I had a chance to go inside one. They had it parked with that's the one where the nose opens up too, right? Where it becomes a giant tunnel. The nose cone opens up and the rear, the back opens up. And so, I mean, you go in, it's enormous. It's like the Bankhead Tunnel or something. I mean, like, it's just a huge tunnel that can fit all kinds of stuff inside of it. So,
I mean, just seeing it flying low in the sky, I'm like, that looks like an apartment building going through the sky.
It does. Yeah, I think it's got like 96 tires or something. It's crazy, when that thing lands. And picking up an F-18.
Yes.
A Gulf War era F-18 that's going to go to a museum out in California.
And now, I don't know this to be 100% fact, but I'm pretty sure I saw this, that somebody had a screen cap of the flight tag, and the plane's name was Hefty.
Ooh, I have to look.
I'm not 100% on that, right. But I'm pretty sure I saw that over the weekend. And if so, fitting is all I can say.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. And somebody asked the question, a good question, when is it leaving? I don't know if it's left already or if it's going to leave in the future. I should know. I wish I did know. I do not happen to actually know. But, I would for one, love to see it take off and, watch it fly gracefully through the air like a giant skyscraper with wings. So, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:27 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is kind of just an odd little note. We'll put it that way. But how they're always tracking the next election. Who's going to be in the next election? Well, there's a poll by Echelon Insights. I've never heard of them before, but that's fine. Echelon Insights did a poll to ask who people support for the 2024 Democratic nomination. Who's going to get the Democratic
24.
What did I say?
You said 2024.
Yeah, well, you know what I meant. 2028.
Okay, because I was like,
sorry.
I got to talk to you.
Retroactive, yeah. 2028. Who do you think is at the top of the list for getting the Democratic nomination?
I have no idea.
Come on. This is an obvious one.
Kamala.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. good plans need two or three times to work.
Right, word salad.
28%. That's 5 points down from in March. She was at 33%. I guess they do this routinely. You know who got the numbers from her? Cory Booker. The filibuster. Not filibuster, but the long speech. Okay? The long speech got him 2% up from March, so he's at 11%, New Jersey senator. Third place right now is Pete Buttigieg, former transportation secretary. He was at 10% in March. He's now down to 7%. Apparently, he also lost some ground to Cory Booker. So Buttigieg shuffled to Booker, and Booker shuffled to Kamala Harris. Or anyway, no, Kamala Harris shuffled to Booker also. AOC, 7% for president. Meanwhile, the crime in her district has skyrocketed. It's just, I mean, I've seen these stories. Anyway, Tim Walz, 5%. I guess at this point, we're just putting out names.
You know, why not?
We got to have names. Gavin Newsom, 4%. That surprises me.
Oh, sorry.
That he's only at 4%. I mean, that seems like, I would think he's one of the front runners. Josh Shapiro at 3%. J.B. Pritzker. Oh, God forbid.
Illinois governor.
Oh. Anyway, Pritzker's at 3%. Gretchen Whitmer, Michigan, 3%. Jasmine Crockett. Jasmine Crockett. Stop it. 3%. These numbers don't add up to 100. If I'm looking at everybody I got here, I got 39, 46, doing a quick math, 53, 58, 62, 65, 68, 71. That's 77%. What is the other? Anyway, okay. But the surprise on here.
We're rounding up.
The one that caught me by surprise, it was kind of like the headline note. John Stewart at 3%. What organization has John Stewart run before?
I thought you were going to say like John Cena or something.
No, I like John Stewart. I think he's smart. I think he's decent, but he has got no executive experience at all. Of course, then again, was AOC run before?
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Gianna Gelosi. Pope Francis has died at the age of 88. The Vatican announcing he passed away this morning following a weeks-long battle with double pneumonia.
The Vatican released a statement this morning. It reads in part, at 7:35 this morning, the Bishop of Rome, Francis, returned to the house of the Father. His entire life was dedicated to the service of the Lord and his church. Pope Francis passed away in the Vatican's Casa Santa Marta. He was 88 years old. The news is heartbreaking and stunning, given that the Pope was just seen in public on Easter Sunday, greeting thousands of people in St. Peter's Square.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera. And the New York Times reporting Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth allegedly shared war plans in a second Signal chat, one that included his wife, brother, and lawyer. The Pentagon issued a statement calling the article not true. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 63 degrees. It is mostly cloudy right now in Pensacola. We'll get more on our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few moments. Well, there were protests across the Gulf Coast and across the nation over the weekend in Pensacola. Protesters were gathered at Bayview Park.
We are here. We're here to support you. We're here to support America, all of America, white, brown, black, Native Americans. We've all got to come together. This is about the United States of America.
And that is environmental activist Dr. Gloria Horning, who talked with Channel 3 at that event, and organizers say they were happy with the turnout, but it was a little bit smaller than a similar protest held about a month ago. Protesters were also out in Mobile to protest the Trump administration's executive orders, federal layoffs, and immigration policies on Saturday. Nonprofit Feeding the Gulf Coast is set to expand their facility in Milton. The organization confirming to WKRG that they're about to begin a 6,000-square-foot expansion, which would enable them to process more food and provide additional resources to the community. They plan to add a kitchen, and they'll be preparing meals for kids there and also offering nutritional classes. Feeding the Gulf Coast provided more than 37 million meals across the Gulf Coast last year, 14 million of those in the Panhandle. Well, Florida State University trying to return to normal today. Classes will resume, but the school's also offering students a choice of going remote. The school says they want everybody to receive the support and the help they need, and that means different things for different students. Meanwhile, flags across the state will remain at half staff today. Governor DeSantis said on Friday flags would be at half staff for the victims and to recognize the bravery shown by first responders. Well, one person's in custody after a shooting at a Mobile and at a Publix in Mobile over the weekend. That happened on Saturday afternoon. Police say a male suspect demanded money from a female victim, then shot her during a struggle. The victim was taken to the hospital with a non-life-threatening injury. The suspect has not yet been booked into the jail. He reportedly began complaining of chest pains, was taken to a hospital. After he was detained, police say the suspect will be identified once he's booked into the jail. One person has died after a shooting at a local events center on Saturday. That happened at the 851 Events Center on Delano and Pace Boulevard. That victim was found near the events center in a parking lot. So far, no word on suspects or a motive. And a Pensacola man is facing charges for the attempted murder of a federal agent. 35-year-old Austin McCastler was indicted by a federal grand jury last week on several drug charges and attempted murder. Officials say McCastler fired shots at a DEA agent as a search warrant was being served. He's due in court tomorrow for an arraignment. It is 6:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. We have an accident to let you know about. If you are on Old Palafox, just north of 10 Mile Road, we've got a vehicle crash with roadblock on Palafox, so just be aware of that. Other than that, I-10, I-110, even Highway 90 and 98 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. John, now our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at a nice day today with temperatures staying warm. We will be looking at a little more cloud cover as we go into your afternoon with a small chance of rain, 20% overall. High near 78 degrees, low tonight near 69 degrees. For Tuesday, about a 30% chance of some pop-up showers, especially inland areas. High near 78. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 69. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And 6:35 at News Radio. We've got 64 degrees right now in Pensacola. It is 69 degrees, Gulf Breeze, 65 in Milton. Your next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Netflix shares rose about 3% in pre-market trading as the streaming giant's upbeat annual revenue outlook reassured investors that it could withstand any economic downturn amid a tariff-laden economic climate. CNBC reports the Trump administration could soon roll out sweeping changes to the State Department with an executive order that proposes the elimination of all non-essential embassies and consulates in sub-Saharan Africa and the consolidation of regional bureaus around the world. It also calls for terminating positions within the department focused on climate, women's issues, democracy, human rights, and more. President Trump is registering the worst economic approval numbers of his presidential career amid broad discontent over his handling of tariffs, inflation, and government spending. A new CNBC survey shows Trump with 43% approval and 55% disapproval for his handling of the economy. Futures are moderately lower on Thursday. The Dow Industrials lost 527. That's Your Money Now.
Yeah, sure, the players bring some skill to the game, but if I don't put them in my lineup, who cares? Not me. I'm Eric Rubino, fantasy baseball GM and league runner-up 2 of the last 9 years. I use the Progressive Name Your Price tool with options based on my budget. And for a guy that's used to being in control, it fits. Like this runner-up t-shirt. Champ gets a trophy, but you can't wear a trophy. Boom.
Get options based on your budget with Progressive, even if you're not a legend in your own mind. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best boarhead sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie boards to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wine, and Cheeses. Find them today on the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Item number two is approval of a design task order to Jacobs Engineering for engineering design of a Navarre Beach Bridge toll system and a rate study. The amount of the task order is $385,665 and authorized the chairman to sign related documents.
Now, this is Jared Lowe, the assistant county administrator from a couple weeks ago, talking about in Santa Rosa the idea of putting up a new toll plaza on the beach bridge to Navarre and charging a toll for that. And, you know, how much is it going to be? Probably a couple bucks. And, you know, they're putting money that had been in one pot of money into this. And you say, well, how much is that really going to raise? And how dare they put a toll up? And listen, the county cannot afford a new bridge. You want a new bridge? The old bridge is obsolete. I mean, it's functionally obsolete. That means it's not falling apart, but it is in need of replacement. And so, look, I hate paying a toll. You know me. John, have you ever heard me speak up in favor of toll? No.
Never.
No. And we'll get to the other big toll project in our area here in just a second, the I-10 bridge. I hate tolls. I do. But I also understand that bridges and roads are expensive, and there are times when it makes sense, especially if it's a moderate amount of money. You know, the Bob Sykes toll for a buck, I don't love it, but it doesn't bother me. The Garcon Point at $5, stupid. At $2, cool. I mean, you know, it's a useful bridge, right? And if it's, what is it, $250 right now, I think?
I think,
you know?
So, yeah.
Okay, that's a little higher than I prefer. But, it, you know, a moderate amount of money doesn't really bother me. Yes, I know. It's annoying that they took the toll off and now it's going to go back on. I thought it was annoying that the money that in Escambia County for the Bob Sykes hasn't been going into an escrow fund to pay for the bridge. Like, money just gets used other places. Well, that's a terrible plan. If you're going to have toll money, it ought to at least pay for the bridge. Like, it should pay off the bridge, and then it should escrow into the future bridge so that you have, like, you know, just like you do with a car, just like you should do with a house and anything else, if you're going to put money off into the budget to pay back, then you ought to keep putting money so that you can pay for the next one, so that you can just buy the thing. Anyway, Tamara Fountain, who's a dear friend, and she runs a business on the pier. Maybe she runs, I cannot remember. But anyway, you know, used to be here in the city, worked with Ashton Hayward, and she spoke to the county commission. She brought up some good points.
If we're going to toll the causeway, toll the bridge, I just wanted to make sure I understood that we're not going to use any of that funding for maintenance of the bridge, because we don't toll any other bridge in the county for maintenance.
Yeah, I guess it really depends on whether maintenance is to fix existing problems so that the bridge doesn't actually fall apart. Yeah, I agree with her about that. But if it's something to sort of extend the lifespan of the bridge, and it's sort of this intermediate solution between now and when we have enough money to actually pay for a new one, I could maybe more be persuaded about it.
And then my second question or issue was just to make sure that whatever funds we collect from the toll, we've already been told by every leader in the state of Florida that we're going to have to come up with our own matching grant funds if we're going to be able to qualify for any kind of FDOT help. And I understand that. I accept that. But I want to make sure that that money is put in a segregated fund and that money is allowed to grow and that we would not use it for anything else other than grant matching funds for the purpose of a bridge.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, this is your seed money that you're going to go out to secure grants to build the new bridge, and you got to offer them something. That's always the case. You got to offer them a little bit to get some more. So yeah, put the money into a pot that's going to either be used to build the new bridge or to, you know, leverage it against money for grants and things like that. No, that's, in other words, don't use the toll money to pay anything else in the county. You know, that's key. Escambia County, are you listening? Kerry Smith, chairman of the board.
I just have to say one of my primary reasons for approval of this would be to fund repairs, because it's not going to buy a new bridge. It'd take 100 years for that to buy a new bridge. But I get the gist of it. It would be towards it.
And again, the money you're going to raise at a low toll on the existing bridge is not going to be that much. But it could be enough to help build a bigger pot, like, which is kind of the idea. Ryle, District 5.
I have some concerns about having a toll just to, or in addition of only, not only just raising the funds for matching funds, but also for repairs, when that is the only one that we do that in the county for. We don't do that for any other roads or anything where we use maintenance.
And, you know, there's a sense in which you should treat all the roadways the same. I get that as well. So, a toll is coming. Okay, to that bridge. I will not personally be screaming real loud about it. If you're going to put a significant toll on there, you probably ought to do some things like, obviously, you know, like you do with the Bob Sykes Bridge over to, you know, Pensacola Beach, you know, offer locals some kind of a pass or a discount or something like that so that they can, you know, not have to keep paying every time they go over the bridge. That makes sense. Other things we'll see. But, you know, it's annoying, it's frustrating, but this is how you fund big infrastructure projects like this. Now, meanwhile, you say, well, Andrew, that's completely opposite from your take on the I-10 Bayway replacement over to Mobile. You keep screaming about how nobody is reporting on in this side of the water, nobody's reporting on this bridge project being a tollway and that you're so upset about. I am. Not because it's a toll, although I don't like that, because, A, the toll is high. At least $5 each way. B, because it's an interstate. Interstates are not supposed to have tolls. And by the way, they remember Mobile or LDOT lost their contractor, you know, recently. They had a deal. They were working with one entity to do the construction. And now they've lost that person. That entity has gone away. They don't have a new one yet, but they are still optimistic. They are in talks with a couple of other teams to provide design and construction services for the Mobile Bridge. They hope to be able to groundbreak before the end of the year. Seems optimistic, but, you know, we'll see. And remember, this is like a $2 billion project. Of course, by now, it's probably more than that. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with that accident on Old Palafox Highway just north of East 10 Mile Road, so just be aware of that one. That's causing some delays in that area. Just stay on Highway 29 and avoid that area. Other than that, I-10, I-110 are looking good. Even 98 is flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, the C-5 is still on base. I've got somebody who says that it's there and it like might be refueling right now, so might be getting ready to leave today. So if you live in the vicinity of NES Pensacola, you know, keep your eyes and ears open, and when you hear that rumble, look up. It will not be an F-18. It will be much, much bigger. Oh, I was curious how big it is, because my question was, is it bigger than a B-52, which is the other, you know, massive bomber that we think. I mean, that C-5 is not a bomber, but, you know, in terms of, you know, big planes, right? When you see a B-52, you're like, how does that fly? How is that possible? John, you have a guess. Is the B-52 bigger or is the C-5 bigger? You've been in the C-5. You ever been in a B-52?
No.
Me either.
I wasn't granted that privilege for
I've
some
been
reason.
Outside of one. Don't they have a B-52 at the Alabama, at the park out there?
I think they do.
I think there is one there.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's pretty big.
It's pretty big. But
you got to guess which one's bigger?
I got to say the C-5.
I would guess that too. Okay, so I looked it up, and a B-52 is 185 feet in wingspan. Wow. And 160 feet in length. Okay?
Wow.
So it's wider than it is long, which is not surprising. The C-5, so 159 feet length. The C-5 is 247 feet long.
Did you say 200?
Yeah, it's like gosh, what is that? Like 60% longer, something like that. That's amazing. The B-52 is 185 feet in wingspan, and the C-5 is 222 feet. So that's another, like, what, 30% wider. So it's huge.
And it gets off the ground.
And, of course, the B-52 has a skinny little body.
No,
you know,
right?
The C-5 is a bulky body. All right, so there you go. Just kind of be paying attention, ears and eyes open, and you might get a good shot of a pretty amazing plane that landed in order to pick up an old F-18 that's all folded up and ready to go in the box. Or, well, I mean, apparently is in if they're fueling this morning. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the White Sands Panhandle Band takes the stage. It's one of the hottest bands in bluegrass country and rockabilly on the Gulf Coast. You'll hear everything from Marty Stewart to Marty Rabin to Charlie Daniels at Bands on the Beach. Brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority. Don't bring any pets or glass.
Pensacola Navy Days, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union and the Pensacola Ice Flyers. The Night at the Museum Gala is back at the Naval Aviation Museum on Friday, May 9th, and presented by Penn Air Federal Credit Union. Your ticket includes cocktails, dinner from Classic City Catering, and an evening of music under the planes. Mayor D.C. Reeves will give the keynote address. Early bird tickets are $120. Tickets for this black tie gala will go fast. Get yours today at PensacolaNavyDays.com. That's PensacolaNavyDays.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line, sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Hall's Hardware in Milton.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Set a spell. Take your shoes off. Don't come back now. Here.
Ellie Mae, get in here. 6:51 here on News. John, be honest, growing up, Ellie Mae or Daisy Duke?
Daisy Duke.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Barbara Bach. All right, there you go. I see you. Well,
you asked.
I thought you were a country boy.
I am.
Well, you picked the wrong one then.
No, I like the car better. I didn't like the car that the Jed Clampett's you rode in.
I'm Mariner for the family car is what's about it. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, I want to ask you to pick between Ellie Mae and Daisy Duke, unless you want to.
Ellie Mae all day.
Thank you. Exactly. 100%. Even in black and white, she smokes. Anyway, go on. Go on.
Well, the big news this morning, the death of Pope Francis today. Tributes pouring in after his death. Vice President J.D. Vance, who met Francis at the Vatican just yesterday, said his heart is going out to everybody who loved him. Also reacting to the news, the White House posted on X, "Rest in peace, Pope Francis." Jury selection continuing today in Manhattan in the sex crimes retrial for Harvey Weinstein. So far, 9 of the 12 jurors have been picked for the trial that is expected to go into late May. Meanwhile, a judge last week did honor the former Hollywood producer's request to move out of the Rikers Island jail complex and into the hospital due to health issues. And three more states are now reporting cases of measles this year. Louisiana, Virginia, and Missouri all reporting cases over the weekend. All of those cases, though, are reportedly linked to international travel. But there's now 27 states with confirmed measles cases, about 800 in total.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620 is my phone number if you want to weigh in on anything. This is a story that, you know, I don't want to make too much out of it, but it definitely was the big news yesterday, aside, of course, from the Pope passing this morning. But Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, remember the Signal chat where they had a bunch of people on a semi-unsecured channel, and that was bad to begin with, and they were sharing what would appear to me as a layman to be war cliff notes, if not war plans, and that's bad. And then, of course, they inadvertently added a guy who was, the editor of the magazine Atlantic, which is not great either, and he publicized that. There was a second Signal chat group that Pete started, and it was telling kind of the same stuff, and at least according to the New York Times, two of the recipients of the chats were his wife and his brother.
He really likes that app.
That's
come on now.
Not great.
It's not bueno.
So here's the thing. If the one was bad and he had another one at the same time, you kind of want to say, well, he didn't realize it was bad, and so now he's realizing he wouldn't do that again. Okay. On the other hand, your wife and brother? Now, you know, both of them have connections to the administration. It's not completely unheard of. His wife is a former Fox News producer. His brother, Phil, was hired at the Pentagon as the Department of Homeland Security liaison. Both have traveled with the Defense Secretary, and they've attended high-level meetings. So it's not like, you know, I don't think she has
high-level clearance.
I don't know, though. I don't know what she has or doesn't have. But it doesn't look great. It doesn't look great to be texting your wife and your brother cliff notes for, you know, attack plans. It's just not. But again, you know, lesson learned. It's not really a fool me twice kind of thing. It's just a, you know, let's not do this again in the future. Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
If you are still on Old Palafox Highway just north of 10 Mile Road, you're going to see that the accident is still there. I'm seeing delays both in the north and southbound lanes. Even Highway 29 right around that area is seeing some delays too. What?
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
Just
you're just looking at me just kind
waiting.
Of funny. I-10,
I-110. Every time I look at you, I look funny.
Well,
no go comment. On.
Yes. Okay. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Highway 90 and Avalon are flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. I know people are noting, you know, we have a bunch of different reactions here. From one end, we have these people sit in with him on high-level meetings. This criticism is silly. Others are like, no, he's being a total dumbass. This is bad. It was completely unsecured. There's no way you can justify it. I mean, that's why I said both sides. Kind of like all of that has truth in it, you know, so I agree. A lot of the question is going to be, you know, what goes forward. The oral arguments at the Supreme Court tomorrow, very, very interesting. A case I had not heard much. I didn't even realize it had been accepted for hearing, but I don't catch all of them. I try to catch as many as I can. There's a case in the Supreme Court tomorrow that is going to be fascinating. You've got a school district that the case is Mahmoud v. Taylor. Montgomery County Board of Education. You know, I don't know the state where this Montgomery is. I don't know if it's Alabama. I would not think it's Alabama. I'm sure it's not Alabama, but somewhere else. Anyway, they had a mandatory reading to elementary students. So, you know, K through 5 or 6. Storybooks celebrating gender transition, pride parade, and same-sex playground romance. Specific, they were chosen to disrupt cisnormativity. You know what cisnormativity is? Cis is the opposite of trans. Okay, cis means that you identify as your birth gender, you know, like what you would otherwise just call normal. Normativity means that the idea that identifying as your birth sex is a normal thing. Cisnormativity, so, you know, like heteronormativity, that it's normal to be attracted to people of the opposite sex, okay? They're trying to disrupt the idea that there's a normalcy here. Thinking about the students. So students are not supposed to think this way, too. The board's own principals objected to the curriculum. It was not appropriate for the attended age group. It presented gender ideology as a fact. It shamed students who had contrary opinions and was dismissive of religious beliefs or objections. The board initially allowed parents to opt kids out. And then they stopped allowing parents to opt out. No opt-outs would be permitted. Parents would not even be notified when the storybooks were read. Petitioners filed suit, not challenging the curriculum itself, but arguing that compelling their elementary age, K through 6 or K through 5, you know, everybody's a little bit different on this, age children to participate in instruction contrary to their parents' religious convictions, violating the free exercise clause. And the Fourth Circuit found no free exercise burden because no one was forced to change their religious beliefs or conduct. So just hearing about how good it is and normal it is to be transgender does not interfere with parents' free exercise religious rights. So the question before the Supreme Court is going to be, do public schools burden parents' religious exercise when they compel elementary school children to participate in instruction on gender and sexuality against their parents' religious convictions and without notice or opportunity to opt out? Just wow.
And did you say playground romance?
Yeah, yeah. One of the, you know, the K through 5. Idea is to, you know, that playground romance is all, I mean, anyway.
Okay.
It's just crazy. Oh, somebody sent me a picture of, what is this? This is of the C5. Oh, and it's taller than everything. Like the tail. It's like 60 feet tall. It's huge. I mean, it's going to be taking off, I would think, sometime this morning. So ears and eyes up to the sky, and you might have a sweet treat if you're out on the southwest side anywhere near the Navy base this morning. That C5 Galaxy looks likely to take off today.